Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Doug McKay. Hello, Father.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right,
pal. Be back with you again and the listeners.
Amen. And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thanks so much for being with us today and we're forever part of the next 2 hours. You can join us, Father McKay, here in this hour. We'll be talking about at least one saint, possibly two, and then a good friend of Father's is on in the second hour. Another radio host, Chuck Neff, who's written a fabulous book. I actually just finished it this morning, so Chuck will be joining us a little bit after 5 o'clock. So stick around for the second hour today. I highly encourage it. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign and she can put you in touch with Father or I. Reminder that coming up on Monday, April the 26th, is one of our annual fundraisers here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It's our golf outing that we will be having at Old York Road Country Club. Again, that's Monday, April the 26th. Registration begins at 10, lunch at 11, golf at 12. Followed by a little cocktail reception and then dinner. It's always a great day. It's great to see all the priests that come out and join us each year. And especially this year with all this snow we've been having, I think today it almost reached 60 degrees, but really looking forward to some sunshine and the golf course again. So circled on your calendar. We also uploaded the flyer on our website at inhissign.com if you're interested in playing golf, being a sponsor, or just coming for the meal. All those opportunities are available. So again, check it out at inhissign.com. And we'd like to begin the show each week with prayer. So why don't we begin? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
And all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
St. Margaret or Cortona.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we are in the first full week of Lent, Ash Wednesday being just a week ago. And just a couple of saints that were on the calendar this week. On Sunday would have been St. Damian. However, we did celebrate the first Sunday of Lent. On Monday the 22nd, the chair of St. Peter. And yesterday the 23rd, St. Polycarp and also St. Margaret of Cortona. So we thought we would start with St. Margaret today. Before we do, just a reminder, this is a one-hour call-in show, so you're more than welcome to call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want to hear from you as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, because when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. So if God's touched you in a particular way this week, we would love to hear from you. So, St. Margaret of Cortona, born in the year 1247, and she was born to farming parents in the town of Laviano in Tuscany, Italy. Her mother died when Margaret was just 7 years old, and it wasn't real easy for her to live with the stepmother, who made things kind of difficult for her. And so Margaret moved out, and for 9 years she lived with Arsenio. They were never married. She did bear him a son, and she had her doubts about her situation, wasn't sure where to go, what was going on, and she struggled with the sexual addiction. So, you know, we hear a lot about it today, but even 800 years ago, and I'm sure since the beginning of time, people have struggled with the sex thing. So one day while she was waiting for Arsenio, instead the dog came back, and the animal led Margaret back into the forest, where she found that Arsenio had been murdered. It was quite a shock to her, so much so that, you know, when you read it says that she was shocked into a life of penance. And she and her son went back to Laviano, where she was from, and they weren't well received. And so they went to Cortona. And when they got there, this is around the time that the Franciscans had gotten started, early in the 13th century. And her son ends up becoming a friar. And then in 1277, 3 years after Margaret's own conversion, she becomes a Franciscan tertiary, or a third order Franciscan. And so under the direction of her confessor, she had to moderate, or he asked her to moderate some of her self-denial, and then she would pursue a life of prayer and penance at Cortona. She eventually established a hospital and then founded a congregation for Third Order sisters. And she was poor, humble, just like Francis, devoted to the Eucharist and to the Passion of Jesus. And so she was a woman of great charity, and she would die on February the 22nd in the year 1297, around the age of 50, and was then canonized in the year 1728. So St. Margaret of Cortona, whose feast we celebrated earlier this week.
Yeah, you know, it's really a story of grace. You know, here's a woman that, like you said, her stepmother was really harsh on her, and she had lost her loving mother, and her father was always listening to the stepmother. And she was a pretty girl, really beautiful. So, you know, she wanted affection, and in the town she would flirt with the young men and whatnot, and then took up with Arsenio for 9 years. And he kind of promised her that they would be married, but that never really happened. And that story you said, you know, where he's murdered, and the dog comes, and she sees the dead body of her lover under the leaves. And her heart is moved. She starts to think about, you know, his immortality with God, and you know, the life that they've been living together in sinfulness. And she's filled with all kinds of guilt and shame, and gave away everything, you know, from all the riches, and just kept the bare means, and went back home to see if the father would receive her, and the stepmother said no. And that's when she went to Cortona and picked up with the two women there, Mariana and Raneria, took her in, and they were Franciscan, and introduced her to the Third Order. But the Third Order, you know, the Franciscans wouldn't take her in right away until after like 3 years. But yeah, her spiritual director, Guy Unta Bevignati, but he was really working with her in a beautiful way, and she would share sometimes with him some of her spiritual experiences. And she was very penitential, you know, the food, very little food she would eat. She would sleep on the floor. She would, her bed was always on the ground, but she was a contemplative. And this is what's so amazing about this whole life. And this life of Margaret Cortona is for all of us, especially those who suffer with addiction, Ken. Mm-hmm. I think about when people are in recovery and they get about 3 months in and the brain starts to heal, and the recovering person starting to think about what they did, about the guilts and the shame. And you know, often it can lead them right back to the drugs just to numb them because of that shame and that guilt. And that's where the mercy of God comes in. And this is what happened to her. She started to have visions with this great penitential life. And the Lord says to her, calls her the third light of the Franciscan order. I mean, that's just so amazing. The first light is Francis. The second light is Claire. Now, she's the third light, a woman who, you know, lived outside of marriage, had a child outside of wedlock, and even later on she would suffer so much with her temptations with purity. And she's called the third light of the order. But what really hits me the most, Ken, is this, what Jesus says about her, that and the Lord says, whatever I've done for you, it's just not for you. It's to show all the souls what I can do for them. And what he's showing here, he says to her, I'm giving back to you your virginity. Now, when I first heard that, you know, that struck me. I said, Lord, how can you give her back her virginity? That she lived with a lover and she had a child outside of wedlock. How can you give her back her virginity and call her the third light? And the whole point here, Ken, is that's what he does for each and every one of us, that when he forgives us, he takes away all the fallout of that sin. He takes the shame and the guilt, and he redeems us. He restores us. It's like we haven't sinned. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the mercy of God. I mean, can we grasp that and put our brains around that? That here's a good word I like to hear. You know, that this word strikes me. Obliterate it. He obliterates all of our shame, all of our guilt, every trace of it he takes away. But we have to let him do it. We have to believe in this mercy and trust in this mercy and love that he has. It's his mission for us. And, you know, on that cross, it's just, wow, you know, all the sins of the world, he takes it. And we're purified, and we're made holy and perfect, like the Heavenly Father is holy and perfect. At that elevation at Mass, you know, he takes it all. And the Father sees me as a precious child. He doesn't see my sins. They're not there. Jesus took them. Jesus took the guilt. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Ken? Can you grasp that?
Absolutely, Father. He did the same thing in my life that he did for Margaret, and he's done for, you know, millions of others. And, you know, it was really after we met and that the times that I've focused on the crucifix and look at it, especially in this time of Lent, our parishes are having Stations of the Cross and what have you. But this is really the season of the Passion. And to look at that, you know, half of what, probably all of what comes out of my mouth, not half, but all of it, is what I've learned from you and others. It's nothing I come up with on my own, but to look at the crucifix and realize that Christ did that for me, that if I was the only person that ever walked the planet, he still would have done it. And even in reading Chuck's book, He talks, you know, the conversation between Father Bill and Charlie, and we're going to talk about the whole book in the 5 o'clock hour. But, you know, that I don't think we often grasp what really happened leading up to the crucifixion and then the crucifixion itself. You know, we look at it and, you know, there might be a couple spots of blood on it, on a crucifix that we see. You know, some will even go so far as to have the risen Christ on the crucifix. And it was a bloody mess. I mean, from head to toe, it was just a bloody mess. And I think I mentioned it last week in the 5 o'clock hour in talking about Mel Gibson's movie and how I didn't want to see it when it first came out. I heard out how gory it was. And, the truth of the matter was it was gory and it was real and it was real gory. And the fact that he would allow himself to go through that, to show us how much he loves us and how willing he was to take on the sins of the world and take them up there on the cross with him so that all of us could be reconciled with the Father. And to look at the cross, and if we don't see love, then we need to spend more time looking at it. Because the older I get, the wiser I get, the more time I spend, there's no greater sign in this world of love than that. And you know, there's times I'm in awe. There's other times where, you know, as a human, I want to run from that. Nobody wants to see that happen to anybody, especially, you know, somebody they know, and especially their God. I mean, Peter, you know, we celebrated the chair of St. Peter on Monday. You know, Peter didn't want to see it. You know, he went so far as to cut the ear off of one of the soldiers there. There was no way that he was going to let his Messiah go through this. And yet Jesus said, you know, as you always say, you know, give in for now. And, you know, Peter gives in, and Christ really gave in. And, you know, our church in its wisdom gives us 40 days to think about it. And hopefully we spend a little bit of time, you know, just contemplating what Jesus Christ really did for us. And I can only speak for myself, but if you spend some time, maybe a few minutes each day, just looking at that crucifix, I don't know how you can not be changed and not grow deeper in love with this God that would do this for us. And so I get it, Father. All that to say, yep, I get it. Today. Now, tomorrow may be a completely different story, but at least for today, I get it.
Yeah. You know, some time ago, I received a painting of the crucifixion, and it's the most graphic one I've seen, and I have it on top of my tabernacle, Ken. You probably saw it. Mm-hmm. And it was from Annie, a young girl who really passed away with an overdose, and she got addicted by a tonsillectomy, I believe it was, and a painkiller. And she tried to get it off and off. And she was a college student and really in school and an artist. And it seemed like right before she died, she depicted Christ crucified, like she was seeing Jesus on the cross. Her mother, her dear mother, would find her in the form of a cross. But chunks are out of them, Ken. They were taking chunks out of them. And he was wounded from head to toe. And it just seemed so graphic, you know, like you talked about Mel Gibson's. And there was a statue I saw one time as well at 58th and Woodland Avenue, Our Lady Chesahova, and it was the scourged Jesus. And every part of him was marked, and even his eyes were, like, just sorrowful. And I looked at that, and I look at this painting above my tabernacle, and when the morning demons come, Ken, and, you know, the worst neighborhood to live in is between our ears, when the accuser comes and he brings up our past, and when he does that, we should bring up his future, but he brings up our past. I look at that painting, that cross, and I realize it's all gone. Jesus took it all. And I look at it, and I say, my God, you did that for me? Whatever you want, Lord, your will is my command. Whatever you want, I will do. And you look at that, and the great price that was paid for our souls, not gold or silver, but the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the guilt of the world, the shame of the world, and restores us and redeems us back as brand new people, as if we haven't sinned. We go back before Adam and Eve, you know, before they sinned. But even better than Adam and Eve had it, that they didn't have the incarnation. And we do. We have Jesus Christ as our brother who assures us, you know, it's all taken care of, you know. And when I beat myself up with guilt, that's the worst sin. I believe that's the sin against the Spirit. I keep beating myself up and looking at the cross, say, you weren't enough. Well, that was more than enough. That's our God hanging there. All of our sins, it's a drop in the ocean of his mercy. One cross plus three nails equals forgiven. So anybody out there dealing with shame and guilt, come off the cross. We need the wood.
Amen. And I love using that line on people. And it, you know, it's a lot of these things we say, you know, come off the cross. We need the wood. Is that odd? Is that, or is that God? That, you know, they're catchy little phrases, but when they come up, people take them to heart, and you know, you get a little smile, but there's real meaning in that. And so many people that you and I know, if you added up all the years of that they walked around in shame and guilt, it would be eons. And we don't have to do that. You know, the evil one loves for us to do that, to walk around with the shame and the guilt and tell us that we're not worthy of God, that we're not worthy of anything good, that we don't deserve anything. And as you say, that, you know, that's all going on between our ears. If you pick up the gospel, you learn real quick that that's the furthest thing from the truth. That, you know, the shame and guilt is, I think, after despair, is probably one of the greater sins, because we don't have to live with it. There is a way out. Our 7 a.m. group this morning, we talked about the chapter in the big book called, you know, the name of the chapter is "There Is a Solution." And, you know, whether we have all this shame and guilt as a result of alcohol or drugs or just being human, you know, there is a solution, and that solution is God. And to realize that, you know, that if we hang on to that shame and we hang on to that guilt, that it's our own doing, that there is a way to get rid of it, especially if you're Catholic. You have the opportunity to go to confession and to hear those magical words when we're given absolution, that, and they're not magical, they come right from Jesus' lips, that that all of our sins are forgiven. And then if we continue to carry on the shame and guilt after that, then it's on us. And I think that there's some people that actually revel in that shame and guilt, because it allows them to stay where they are. They don't have to change. They can always feel like they're less than, not worthy, and cower in a corner. And they don't have to step out of that life and find that new life that God wants to breathe into us. And, you know, so many people, how many people do we know seem to be comfortable in that life? And for them, it's easier to continue on as they are than to, you know, face reality, fess up for what you did, and get rid of that shame and guilt. We have a way out, you know, and thank God for you and I and all the others that we know that have found that solution, that have found a way to get out of that morass of shame and guilt, and not only get out of it, but then turn around and show others how to get out of it and to lead happy, productive lives. And some of these people, you know, if they ever wrote about a book about their lives, you'd read it and say, you know, this person's not worthy of anything. This person should have been dead long ago. And yet, not only are they still alive, but they're happy, joyous, and free. And like I said at Christ the King over the weekend, some of them are pillars of their community now. You know, I mentioned over the weekend, you know, they go from the corner to the pulpit, from stealing from their grandparents to being lectors and extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, from terrorizing their neighborhoods to being pillars of the community. And if God can do that for us addicts, imagine what he can do for those that struggle with life, but at least don't have that real addiction, that real compulsion to something that wants to kill them. So, and no better time to find it than in this season of Lent, I think.
Yeah. That's exactly the story of Margaret Cortona. Look what I have done for her. And that's not just for you, Margaret. That's to show my people what I can do for them. This mercy, Ken, it's so profound. It's deep. I was just thinking of a story with Sister Faustina, St. Faustina, where, and this is probably paraphrased, but a nun comes to her and says, when you see Jesus again, would you ask him if he forgave me the sin that I committed in my youth, that terrible sin? And she said, I will. And so when she saw Jesus, she said to the Lord, Sister wants to know if you forgave that sin that she committed in her youth. And the Lord said in these words, paraphrase, you tell her for me, her lack of trust in my divine mercy wounds me more. And how true, do we realize that we wound him more? We look at the cross saying, oh, you weren't enough for us. Well, it's more than enough. And boy, what love, like you say, Ken, you really see that the love that he has for us to endure that, really, to look down at his mother. They stripped him and beat him and terrorized him and bruised him up and spat on him and ridiculed him, flayed him like a fish. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. What was he looking at? What was he forgiving? Not their sins, not evil. He's looking at his brothers and sisters in his image and likeness. That's what makes us worthy. We may not be deserving because of our sins, but God does not make junk. We make the junk, but he's the junk collector. Christ gathers it all up and makes us brand new, Ken, as if we haven't sinned. Wow. I mean, what mercy. If we just believe in that, that's going to fill our hearts with so much peace and joy, because we'll get rid of the guilt that's already obliterated.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I see it in so many ways. And this is one of my favorite times of year. I'm in the middle of a three-week stretch here, that almost four-week stretch that begins with Valentine's Day on the 14th. Believe it or not, I'll be married 32 years tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you. And it's all due to the grace of God, because 29 years ago, my wife was calling my mother saying, you know, you better figure out what's wrong with him, because I'm not putting up with this much longer. And so to still be in that marriage 29 years later is a direct result of God's doing, you know, not mine. If I kept on my way, I would have either been divorced or dead or both a long, long time ago. And then, you know, on March the 11th, it'll be Sue's birthday. So this is a time of year that you throw in Lent with it, and there's so much that I have to be grateful for in these days and in these weeks. And, you know, I hope everybody else is of the same mind. And if you're not, if you're not grateful for where you are, then there's an easy remedy. And I'm going to use your remedy, Father. Take out those rosary beads, whether you've used them or to pray the rosary or not. But most Catholics, they have rosary beads laying around somewhere. And on that set of rosary beads, you got 53 Hail Mary beads, 6 Our Father beads, and maybe one or two others. And your homework is to go around that rosary and on every bead say, Jesus, I am grateful for. And I know the first time you asked me to do it, Father, it took me a little while. And I don't even know if I got all the way around. But I can, in 10 or 15 minutes today, come up with at least 65 things that I'm grateful for. And we need to do that. If we don't step back and take a look at what God has done for us, and it's the simple things, roof over our heads, food on the table, for those of us that are still working, you know, employment, for our children and grandchildren, for our friends, for our church, for the priests that are in our life, for you know, all the individuals that are in our life. For me, you know, I can start racking up kids and grandkids. Kathleen will probably need about 6 rosaries to get through her family. But but we need to be grateful. And if we're not, that sometimes that can be the root of our problem, that we're so caught up in some of the not-so-nice things that might be going on in our lives that we can't see through it. and see the good that's come going to come from that, and that has come from the struggles that we've had in the past. So,
yeah. A grateful heart is a happy heart. You know, when I say, Ken, I'm too blessed to be stressed, it's not that I don't get stressed, but when I am stressed, I look at all my blessings again, and I'm not stressed anymore.
Amen.
We are too blessed to be stressed. If we focus on those gifts and those blessings that we have, we would be grateful. Our hearts will be happy. I know we're at the bottom of the hour.
Yep. We've just got there. And so I'll give out the numbers. We'll go to our Is That Odd or Is That God when we come back. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or toll free 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pat Wally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years. So it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself, but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world. And wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Again, your host Ken Johnston and Father Doug McKay. Reminder about the Calyx Society. We are back meeting in person down in Grace Ferry. We had our meeting last night. And we get started every Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m. with the Angelus and Adoration, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. We're in the Annex Building to St. Gabriel's Parish, and the Annex Building is at the corner of 30th and Dickinson, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood Street. We also have an in-person meeting that meets in Abington at Our Lady Help of Christians on the third Saturday of the month. We just met last Saturday, so we'll get together again on Saturday, March the 20th. We'll remind you between now and then. Also, if you or somebody you know, that even if they're not in the area and they're in a 12-step program and might be interested in Calyx, we now have some 9 or 10 online meetings throughout the week. digital meetings. So from the comfort of your own home, you can attend. And so get in touch with me through either the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call, and she can put you in touch with me, and we can get you on the distribution list to get the weekly email that has a list of all the meetings and how to get connected. And we can go from there. Again, a reminder that April 26th, the golf outing's coming up. Again, thank you for all that you do for us here, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years. We ask you to just keep doing what you're doing. It seems to be working. We're still here. We're still able to get the message out, and we appreciate all that you do for us. So,
yeah, before we get going again, I just wanted to pray a golden Hail Mary. Ann Bell had passed away yesterday.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, she's one of the sponsors here on the program.
Yeah.
And Mary had called me probably around 12:30 and then again this morning. But she seemed to go in her sleep, very peaceful, and a real prayer warrior for Inner Sign Network and for all of us. So I wanted to pray Hail Mary for her. But also for you, Ken, 32 years, wow, you and Sue, and also Chuck Neff, you know, he's ending his great career just as really for the inner life. But he's not retiring. He's rewiring and refiring. So great guy, and I'm going to be listening to the broadcast with him, Ken, with you. But anyway, that Hail Mary for all the listeners. And I want to do it now because sometimes at the end we're so rushed, yeah, and we run out of time. But let's just pray that Hail Mary for all those intention, and especially for Ann Bell, the repose of her soul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may
the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And
happy
that was
anniversary, Kenneth.
Yeah, thanks, Father.
Yeah, you too. Beautiful. And 32 years. And you'll be talking about marriage coming up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Power God.
Exactly. You got it. You got it. And we talked just long enough for Joe to get the name on the board here. And we got Pat on the line. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Ken, and hi, Father Doug.
Oh, hi, Pat.
I just wanted to tell you that, and thank you for the beautiful program that the two of you present each Wednesday. I always benefit in some way, and you're quite a duo. It's really nice listening to the both of you. And Father Doug, for you, I want to especially thank you. Because last Wednesday when I was listening and I was in the car driving to a store and you were reading the litany of the Lenten, fasting and feasting,
uh-huh,
and that, you know, it was time for me to get out of the car, and I went, no, I got to sit in the car and listen to the rest of this. This is something I need to hear. And I just thought it was, you know, so beautiful, so perfect for Lent. And I had called Maureen and asked her if something like that, could I get that online or whatever, and she said she would check. So when I came out of the store, I called her back, and she says, no, Pat, it's not anything you can get. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then yesterday I got a surprise in the mail. Maureen was so kind and sent me a copy, and it was such a gift because there's things on that feasting and fasting that I need to work on. And I want to share it with others and of course my family members. But it was beautiful, and so I thank you for that, Father Doug.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I just and just like I said again, just wanted to commend you and Ken for the wonderful job you do.
Yeah, and thank you. I know you're good friends with Kathleen, her support, and I hear so many good things about you, and keep up your good work as well. But, yeah, you know, Pat, it's all about that we don't fast for nothing. We fast to feast, you know, to let go what's below, to that we can walk in festivity in the kingdom of God with our Lord in those verdant pastures beside restful waters and our cups overflow. when the Lord asks us is to do something like deny ourselves. It's not for nothing, but it's for everything that he wants to give us. We just can't have both worlds. We can have either one we want, but we must let go of one to have the other. And our Lord is so polite, he lets us have either one we want. But thanks, Pat. That's encouraging. God bless you.
Yeah. God bless you both.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. It's always great to hear from you. I get to talk to you twice in one day. It's absolutely awesome.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
God bless you both.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. It's always good to get a call like that, Ken.
Yeah, amen.
Encouraging.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, we usually try to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, and I was blessed over the weekend when you had asked me to pitch in and go down to Christ the King in the far northeast to talk about Our House Ministries. And after the 10 o'clock mass on Sunday, I had given the talk after communion. It was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes. And then a couple of people stopped by. And, you know, you talk about Is That Odd or Is That God? A couple by the name of Kirby, last name Kirby, stopped by. And, you know, I mentioned in the talk that my home parish was St. Luke's in Glenside. And he mentioned that he stops there once in a while on his way to go play golf. And it's like, oh, where do you play golf? And he mentioned a local club where my father happens to play. And so he's known my father, turns out. He's known my father for years. He knows you because his father was a resident at Holy Family Home. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he's also the uncle for my nephew's girlfriend. We keep waiting to find out when he's going to ask her to marry him. But, you know, it was like in 5 minutes, I got three connections with this guy.
Really?
And, yeah, and it's like, is that odd or is that God? Yeah. You know?
How closely knitted we are.
Amen. Mm. Amen. And of course, one of your cousins goes there. I think you go anywhere in Philadelphia and say something. One of your cousins is liable to be there, but yeah. You know. But she was there as well, and it was humbling because, you know, and I mentioned this in my talk over the weekend that, you know, 25 years ago, this opioid addiction, this drug addiction thing was, you know, was more or less relegated to the inner city. You know, occasionally you'd hear about issues in the suburbs. But now it's just everywhere. And you can't escape from it. And, you know, you mentioned the young girl that had done the picture of
Annie
and the picture of Jesus that she did. And, you know, hooked on drugs as a result of a surgery. You had the same thing. I remember you did the funeral for the young man out of Sacred Heart, early 20s, that got hooked as a result of a football injury.
Yeah. Joseph Sardella.
Yeah. And it's just everywhere. Yeah. And
yeah, it's everywhere is right, you know.
Yep. And the people that came up after Mass on Saturday evening and Sunday, you know, a lot of them had their own stories, whether one woman and her husband ended up having almost 40 years in the program before 40 years sober before he died and was a pillar of that parish. Father Callahan happened to be nearby, and when he heard her talking, you know, he let me know that her husband, the great role that he played in that church. And so, you know, we never know what God has in store for us. It, you know, I say it all the time. If you had told me that this is what my life would be like 30 years ago, there was no way I could ever imagine that I would be doing half of the things that I'm doing today. I'm sure it was the same for you when you were sitting in the corner bars in Grace Ferry and, you know, just starting to hear your vocation. And then, even I think when we figure out maybe what God wants us to do, that it even goes further than that. We just can't imagine. But we have to let God in. We have to allow him to work these things in us and to follow his lead. And usually for me, at least, that lead comes from other people. Hearing things that are needed or opportunities that are available. And then trusting God that he'll take care of us when we make a decision to actually do it. So,
yeah. Just thinking, it made me think of the barroom scene and, if my struggles and all with alcohol, how God used that all. Would I be working with people in addiction today if I didn't have those struggles and trials and tribulations in my life? They said, when you have a trial or tribulations and it trips you up and you fall there, dig there, because that's where your treasure is. That's where we find the grace the most and the transforming love of the Lord. It's amazing. And because of, our past, we can be sensitive, Ken, and you can too, and be compassionate to those who suffer with addictions. You know, if we didn't have that ourselves, would we have that same kind of sensitivity and compassion and love for them? But for the grace of God, there I go. A big part of our ministry is not just those who are addicted and those in recovery, but the family members, the mothers and fathers, and, all the loved ones, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles that suffer right along with them. And just bringing them hope and consolation and praying with them and just walking with them during their struggles and trials and just giving that hope, that Christian hope, that the Lord is there and he can change it all in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. Just give them permission.
Yeah. And those family members, those loved ones, I think oftentimes they suffer more than the addict himself.
Yeah.
Because, at least the active addict is using whatever it is they're using, alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, whatever it is, that's their escape, and they don't have to deal with it. And it's the loved ones that are watching, their sons and daughters, brothers, sisters, parents kill themselves, and how helpless they can feel. Because there really is not a whole lot that they can do. And I'll just say this, that, you were mentioned that because of the things that you had done, that you can relate. And that's why, especially those of us that struggle with addiction, when we find a solution, that we can share it and people will listen to us because we're bona fide. They know that when we say we know what's going on between their ears, they know that we know. We can explain to them what's going on, even if they don't know what's going on. And so we have the words escape me, but we have a way of getting through to them because we've been there. People that have struggled with their marriages are best to help other people that are struggling with their marriage because they know how to get through it. Right. And the list goes on and on. So whatever our struggles are in life, we can help people who experience those same struggles should they ever cross our path.
Yeah. What you're saying, that the loved ones suffer even more than those who are in their throes of their addiction. And I remember in the rooms listening to the stories that they would say, we go away and on programs and we get therapy, but the ones that we hurt, they don't get any therapy, and how true that is. But most of the parents I talk to, they have faith. They go to the Lord. And I looked at my brother Harry, and his therapy was prayer. It was his rosary, his daily communicant. A lot of times, right way back in World War II, they didn't have all these programs to go to. They were really suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and they were holding their rosaries in their faith that was getting them through all the difficulties and heartaches. That, as you said, Ken, that the solution is in God himself, it's in Jesus, and there's no human solution here, but there's always a divine solution. He's the answer to all our questions and the solution to all our problems. We just need to take that invitation of his when he says, come to me, all you who are weary, find life burdensome, filled with guilt and shame or addicted, come to me, and I will refresh you. I will set you free. I am the way and the truth and the life, and the truth is Jesus Christ who sets us free.
Amen. And yet so many people today, either they don't want to know their truth or they make up their own truth. And I had a string of guests in the 5 o'clock hour in January that were, you know, professional philosophers. I thought philosophers were a thing of the past. You mentioned philosophy or philosophers to me. I think Aristotle and Socrates and, you know, these guys that lived hundreds of years ago. And yet there's still people that are studying philosophy and making a career from it. And it's interesting because they still seek the truth. They're truth seekers. And so many today either don't believe that there's a truth or if they do believe there's a truth, that it's only for them,
yeah.
Right? It's not, you know.
Relativism.
Exactly.
I tell you what's true and not true.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, right's right if everybody says it's wrong, and wrong's wrong if everybody says it's right. The truth is the truth. It's absolute. It doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, what is the truth? And we live in that truth. There's peace and joy and happiness. Otherwise, there's going to be misery. The consequences are terrible. You'll want to numb yourself because the pain and heartache come to the Lord. The real medicine, right, the Eucharist, sets us free. You know, the food for the journey, the nourishment, the strength for our mind, bodies, and souls, that the Lord accompanies us every step, every breath, every heartbeat along the way until we all come home to where we come from, our Heavenly Father, and where we belong as well, Ken, with Him,
yeah.
Now and forevermore.
Amen. And, that, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, you know, the last almost year. It was on March 11th last year, I think, when baseball announced that they were suspending spring training. And the pandemic was on its way, and you know you mentioned that it's the Eucharist that is our healing power, and how difficult these last 12 months have been, and between our churches being shut down for a while, where you couldn't even go to Mass if you wanted to. To then being open and, trying to abide by the, you know, wearing a mask and the social distancing, being at my little church, when we escape up to the mountains and seeing people being turned away at the door because they had reached capacity. And, I think of all the people that hunger for the Eucharist, especially those that feel that they're infirm and don't want to risk being around other people for fear of getting the virus, and you know they've been relegated to their houses. In some cases, like my mother and a lot of seniors that are in nursing homes, they've been relegated to their rooms. We've got some good news the last couple of weeks where my mom's at. At least she's allowed to. Leave her room, and they gather in the dining room for meals now, and have some social interaction. But sometimes we're left with in these situations we could be left with our own truth, and trying to figure it out without the help of others, I think is really really difficult. It God has put so many good people in my life, yourself included, that have helped me get to where I am today. And I never, ever, ever could have done this alone. I know that. And to be blessed to have people in my life that are not on the exact same path, but on a similar path, because they all want to know God. They want to get to know Him better. They want a deeper relationship with Him. And, you know, the experience that each of us can share in helping the other to get there is beyond my wildest dreams.
You know, I was thinking of St. Monica, and as we were talking about the Eucharist and all, there's the healing there, the real food, the real drink, the food for our journey. But like St. Monica, a lot of people don't know that she was alcoholic.
Mm.
And she had a wine cellar, you know, before she was married, zipping the wine and really guzzling it. And the maid said, "You're a wino," you know, and it gave her that moment of truth, but she would crave it even afterwards. And Augustine says this about his mother. "My mother had a disease 1,600 years ago, Ken, called it a disease, alcoholism, like drug addiction. Any, you know, alcohol's a drug. My mother had a disease, and there was no cure for it except the medicine of God, the Eucharist, what we stand for in Calyx. You know, it means chalice. It's the Eucharistic cup of Jesus. His precious blood washes away our sins and give us that that transfusion, that new life to follow him more closely. But I always, you know, I get so much out of Monica and Augustine that my mother had a disease, no cure for it except the medicine of God. And that's our cure. That's our remedy right there in all the churches. And I think about we can run off to marketplaces and buy our foods. But, you know, in the beginning, we couldn't have our real food and drink in our churches where they were just shut them down in the beginning. Well, thank God, hopefully, we're getting out of this mess, you know, and people got a greater thirst now and hunger. You know, before maybe we came to the Eucharist mechanically, now we realize, you know, I want Jesus, you know, and we're hungry and even more thirsty for him than ever before. So I see a lot of good coming out of this pandemic as well, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
People really wanting the Lord more than ever before, because that's how he wants us more than anything. And we see that from the cross that we spoke about earlier.
Amen. Going back to, you know, you mentioned Augustine and Monica, and in the first half of the show, we really talked about Margaret of Cortona. And she was like an Augustine, right, with her promiscuity. You know, she wanted purity, but not yet. And, you know, for all of us that, you know, keep saying, you know, we want to keep shopping. Well, you know, we don't want to stop yet. We want to keep drinking. We don't want to stop yet. Whatever it is in our lives that we continue to do. And, you know, we want God to help us, but not yet, because we think we can still extract just a little bit of happiness out of it if we keep doing it. Now's the time, especially during this time of Lent, to get rid of those attachments, to give them to God, to plead with God to take them, and he will.
Yeah. See the grace. We can't do it ourselves. You said that so often during the show. We need one another. We need grace. We need God himself. He is the solution to all of our problems and the answer to all of our questions.
Amen.
Follow the Lord. He's with us always.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we got just about a minute left, Father.
Okay.
Final word.
Well, just to keep the Lord, you know, before us, and with him at our side, we'll never be disturbed. Keep our eyes on him, never take our eyes off him, and follow him. Follow him up that yellow brick road of grace, because we're all heading to the eternal city, not the emerald city, to see the not the wizard, but the God of all wizards. And all along the way, there's lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but the Lord's with us through it all. And just stay faithful to him, and trust him. Trust in that great mercy and love, and live that new, abundant, joyful life that he offers us.
Very good. How about a blessing, Father?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we ask that you bless us all, our ministries, all the listeners here. For the upcoming show with Chuck Neff, let him know he's not retiring. He's rewiring and refiring. And the Bless Ken's anniversary, and also Ann Bell and all the faithful departed. We ask these blessings, Father, in Jesus' name, in union with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father.
All right,
pal. Talk to you soon. God bless. So we are just about at the top of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break. Our guest is on the line already, so don't go away. We'll be right back.